Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Hope you're doing well. It is Tuesday. It is August 18th, 2020, and we have an amazing broadcast lined up for today. I have a very new friend that I just met recently that has some information that I believe is going to be very helpful to all of us who are seeking the truth. And I want to give a little background to where we're going, and I want to line things up and read a little scripture, and then I'll be bringing our friend into the broadcast here in just a moment. First of all, let's be very, very clear about one thing. Today we're going to be talking about the signs in the heavens above us, okay? We're talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. We're talking about things above. We go back in time, biblically, to the very beginning of time. On the fourth day of creation, we know that God created the sun, the moon, and stars for signs and seasons. In other words, they were intended to be known by the inhabitants of the earth. So God put the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day of creation before man was ever on the earth to bring signs and seasons. They would tell when things would be happening, special appointments, feast days. It's all there. Also, warnings. The word signs there is I forget the Hebrew word, but it's about a warning, a red flag, an alert. There were signs there that were given to the people of the earth. God, when he apprehended Abraham, told him to look to the stars. And while he only used that analogous as the descendants that he would have springing forth out of his loins, we know that prior to that, that all of these people, Adam, Noah, all the way through the Shem, the lineage, they understood the calendar of God, so much so that by the time we fast forward in scripture, we get to the books of Daniel, where Daniel was the head of training the Magi on how to interpret the signs of the heavens in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that's why the Magi knew where that star of Bethlehem was when Messiah was being born. They had been trained up by Daniel. There's an amazing reality to all of that when we look back. The book of Job, Job tells us that he was very much aware of the Maseroth. He was aware of the Orion and Asterisk and all these different names of the constellations. Recently, in our own generation, we have witnessed tetrads of blood red moons. We have seen solar eclipses. We have seen constellations lining up with the book of Revelation chapter 12. And so throughout the years, we have heard a little bit about all of these different celestial signs in the heavens. Well, the gentleman I want to introduce today is a gentleman who has been studying and has been watching and looking and has made a connection. And he's going to be sharing with us out of his experience. And I love this about Victor is that he is very cautious and he is not seeking anything. He's not trying to present any particular ideas to shift things. But what he is doing is he is witnessing something in the heavens above us that are actually making sense in what is going on the earth right now. And so I want to get into that. And just before we go, I want to read some scripture out of Luke chapter 17. And in verse 21, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God cannot be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. People will tell you, 'Look, there is the Son of Man,' or 'Here he is,' but don't go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from the one end of to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered into his ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person out of the deck of a roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour together at the mill. One will be taken, the other left." "And where will this happen, Lord?" said the disciples. And Jesus said, "Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near." And ladies and gentlemen, I do believe the signs of the times are everywhere. But to help us navigate, I want to bring into the broadcast today, Victor sits and he is calling in somewhere on the planet. And let me say good morning to Victor. Good morning, sir. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you today?
I'm well, Pastor. How are you, sir? Thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm so glad you're joining us. We had a phenomenal conversation yesterday. I was able to sit back and listen to the things that you were sharing. And I just know that this moment belongs to the Lord. And I'm so thankful that you've been studying and researching and witnessing many things. And just excited about you sharing, Victor, the thoughts of your heart, the things that God has revealed to you. And so, first of all, why don't you say good morning to everybody out there, and let's start moving forward in our interview.
Absolutely. If I may just make a shout out if she is listening. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you. Hope all is well. This journey, it started quite some time ago where I just kind of needed a little bit more. I don't know. I really wanted to understand what was going on. The stars are obviously the oldest thing that we can record or we can see. And just knowing that the planets are always up there doing something really did fascinate me to want to research more into, basically as these planets are traveling along the ecliptic and they're going through these specific constellations, you know, they're clearly doing something and they're clearly making an impact in any which way. And then that's when you start to understand the concept of aspects or the ability for them to see each other or see where they're at and make an impact in that regard. Well, as I told you yesterday, I never had any intention whatsoever of turning this into an idol of any sort to sort of replace God's word or what he meant for our lives, but more so to use this as a tool that he could then, you know, help us to reveal more about our lives and the world that we live in, and, you know, therefore be able to make better, I guess, just decisions and whatnot. Well, there are definitely some aspects coming up in the near future that, as I told you yesterday, kind of coincide with that Pastor Dana Cutterfield's dream. And that was something that I wanted to discuss, was that, well, before I start there, I'll say this, is that one of the things that, as I told you yesterday, has been sort of a, in my opinion, it's been sort of misleading for the public, is that a lot of American culture, we follow the Western Zodiac. This Zodiac is dated back with the Greeks and the Babylonians. It goes back roughly like 4,500 years. They go off of the equinoxes. The planetary placements go off of the location of the equinoxes, which are regularly changing. Versus in the Vedic system or the Eastern side, they go off of the four fixed stars. Fixed stars are Regulus and Leo, Antares and Scorpio, Fomalhaut, which is south of Aquarius. It's actually in Pisces Austrinus, that constellation, and then Aldebaran in Taurus. And these four stars don't move. And so when we look at where the planets are in relation to them off the horizon of our eyes, looking at the sky, what will usually amount to is about 21 degrees behind where the Greek system says that the planets are. So this can be something somewhat misleading for a lot of people that maybe have looked at astrology in the past and just said, oh, you know what, that doesn't sound like me. And they kind of threw it away. It was based off of incorrect calculations where the actual planets were. And like I said, this isn't an opinion. You can go outside at night and look at these stars and you can see them in these actual constellations according to sidereal calculations. So with that being said, this year, you know, before I say that, let me say this. One of the things, as I was telling you yesterday, that is unique to the sidereal zodiac or the Vedic system is that they break down each constellation down to, they have constellations within the constellations known as nakshatras. These nakshatras, there's 2.5 per sign of all 12 signs. And as a result, you've got basically energy transforming from the 0 degree to the 30th degree of a sign. You've got the birthplace at the 0 degree. And as it is sort of traveling through these storylines, which make up the nakshatras, you've got consciousness or just conscience evolving. And it's evolving little by little, degree by degree. And they break it down even further. They actually have locations within those nakshatras called padas, where there's four padas to each nakshatra. And this is applicable to something else. I'm just kind of going over it pretty quick. And each one of these degrees within every single nakshatra is ruled by a different star, you know, such as like the 29th degree of Cancer is Subra Leo, whereas the first degree of Leo would be Gamma Pisces. There's a star associated with each degree, and this is what gives uniqueness and individuality to any planet that happens to be going through that next degree. For no one or two degrees are identical. You know, life is constantly evolving. The story of life is changing. It's it's becoming the next thing, right? There is no such thing as is. There is only becoming. And so as we move along to that, what we see is that there is a nakshatra that bridges a fire sign to an earth sign. There's a nakshatra that bridges an earth sign to an air sign. And there's a nakshatra that bridges an air sign to a water sign. But there is no nakshatra that bridges a water sign to a fire sign. Now, there's many schools of thought behind how this can work. A backwards one would be that life starts in the womb, right? So life begins in water. Then you take your first breath, which would be air, and you live on earth. And then when you die, you turn to ashes, fire. Well, in the zodiac, we say that fire starts the cycle and it ends at water. So, I mean, this is what's so fascinating about, you know, God's zodiac and whatnot. The more you learn, the more that you get just more and more intricate with everything, the more you realize, yeah, you haven't even scratched the surface. There's so many levels. And so one of the things is that as any one of these planets, for any one of us individually, or as, you know, anything that has a chart, anything that was born, a company, a country, a world, anything that has a chart that basically can say at this moment when I was born, nature took a picture of the sky and had all these planets in their specific locations. And for that, we can then determine where our sort of proclivities or our inclinations are going to be. When a planet goes through this cycle, you know, like from a fire sign to a water sign, in this case, like Aries to Cancer, the second one would be Leo to Scorpio, and the third one would be Sagittarius to Pisces. They're going through a sort of shift in consciousness where in the beginning we're getting established in life as we know it. We're kind of, you know, in Aries to Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, we're learning about who we are on this planet. We're learning about our skills. We're learning about our family. We're learning about our comforts. The second cycle from Leo to Scorpio is we're getting established in this life. Okay, I am born. I am here. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so we start to become more firm in what we think or what we believe and what we do. And then at the end and the beginning of the next cycle from Sagittarius to Pisces is where we're starting to realize this life doesn't last forever. Things do pass and, you know, things are taken from us. We start to learn some real life lessons. We start to learn about, this is why I should acknowledge that God exists. This is why I should try to see him in my life. And then, you know, once you move through Capricorn, now it's where pressure is put on you, where you're starting to sort of exercise your understanding of life and put effort into why, you know, why to show or bear fruit, you know. And then when you move to Aquarius, it's about, you know, basically universal love and understanding how groups and major groups of consciousness can coexist and work out. And then when you get to Pisces, the last sign, it is this sort of culmination of everything that is basically saying, what did you learn on this trip? You know, the sort of standing before God, I gave you these talents. What did you do with them? Did you bury them? Did you, you know, exploit them? Did you multiply them? What did you do? And then Pisces is basically where, you know, even though Pisces can be a sign that can mean a lot of wealth, it is simultaneously where God can connect with us to say, this all will be taken from you at some point. So, you know, to not get too attached or too connected with any one thing that can at any one moment be taken from you. So at the end of these water signs, moving into the fire signs, these points are known in Sanskrit as Gandanta points. I believe that word means in Sanskrit, it means drowning. And another way of kind of looking at it is they're basically like sort of karmic points where for that first shift, like I said, from Aries to Cancer or from Leo to Scorpio or Sagittarius to Pisces, during that cycle, you're learning or, you know, whatever the planet is that's in those areas, they're moving along within that storyline to the end of that cycle. And at the end of that cycle is where you basically have to face a progress report. you know, you have to sort of account for what's been happening, and you have to learn the lesson, whether it's for good or bad, that I don't know. But it's basically at a point where you're having to work out something that if you've been kind of going the wrong way during that cycle, once you get to that point, these Gandanta points, the Gandanta point is at the 29th degree of a water sign to the 0 degree of a fire sign, and then from a 0 degree to a one, to the first degree of a fire sign. So it's 1 degree on either side of that 0 degree. Now, even though this is a very small portion of the sky, a very small portion of the heavens, planets move very slowly. So as they come about into these locations, definitely can, you know, cause a whole lot of transformation once they hit these points. And so what we, you know, when we view the stars, these are, you know, key points to sort of take into account when observing when something could potentially go wrong or something very intense can happen or whatnot. So what we have in the skies right now is, as I was talking to you about yesterday, is that Mars, a very special planet, you know, Mars is the planet of war. It is this planet of aggression. It is this planet that means to, and this is anybody, no matter where he's sitting in your chart where you happen to be born, Mars is this energy where you mean to put your flag on something. You know, if it's in the ninth house kind of thing, you more than likely like to dominate in the religious area or in your field of belief. If Mars happens to be in your seventh house, the house of your marriage partner or other people, you probably are very dominating in relationships. If it's in your sixth house, the house of, you know, your enemies or your diseases or the things that come at you and try to, you know, stop you, you're probably very versed in understanding how to heal yourself. You probably are aware of, you know, medicines and whatnot. You're probably quite aware of strategy and how to face up against enemies that come at you. And it goes the same for every, you know, all these other houses. If it's in the 10th house, the house of your career and whatnot, or where pressure is put on you, you tend to shine in those areas. You don't kind of squirm away from them. You rise to the occasion. And this is how, you know, you can sort of understand and basically get how a lot of people are behaving. And like I said, is I never meant to use this as any sort of replacement. You know, the Bible gives us everything that we need to know spiritually and to understand how God works and why we're here. His zodiac, which, as we kind of talked about yesterday, if everything is energy and it's, you know, it's touching each other, it's having an impact on each other and whatnot, the way I've seen it and the way I've learned it is you look at the sun, it kind of looks like a proton, you know, the nucleus of an atom. And the planets orbiting it are these electrons, you know, and as they sort of build momentum and whatnot, they kind of start to slingshot a little bit more out into space, in which case then the sun will pull them back in. But when it's pulling them back in, this is what's known as retrogressive motion or retrograde motion. When retrograde motion happens, this is technically the planet is coming closer to the Earth, but in sort of the way that we're interpreting it is that, let's say, direct motion, you have to go to the store and you're kind of in a hurry because you've only got a certain amount of time. You go to your car, and just as you go to your car, you forgot your keys. The retrograde is saying now you have to go back and go get your keys and then go back to your car and then drive off. So basically something was missed. Something was not encountered correctly, or it wasn't dealt with correctly the first time, which is why the planet now needs to retrograde back over whatever that was and deal with it. So in reference to that, the first one that I can discuss or talk about is that Mars is going through this Gandanta point, this 29th to 0 degree to 1 degree of a fire sign. It's right now at 29 degrees of Pisces. It moved into there August 14th, which was last Friday, and its whole span was supposed to last from Friday. The calculations I got were to either Sunday or Monday, even though technically, it's still there because it's I believe either at the 0 degree right now or it's really close to the 0 degree of Aries. Whatever it was that any one of us, including, our country, other countries around the world, whatever they basically went through during these last few days from Friday the 14th, Saturday, and Sunday. And I believe you were telling me as well that, there was a heaviness that was felt during those days. And I mean, I try to observe these things as best as I can. A lot of what I know about the Zodiac is not from teachers, but more so learning what these nakshatras mean, what the energy of the signs mean, and then going out and observing people and how they're behaving and trying to find connections and trying to see how, one might be acting in a way that's sort of, similar to another. And then I'd kind of decipher and learn the differences in between. Well, whatever happened, like I said, over the last weekend, it is more than likely going to get repeated again. Because Mars's times, his first time was August 14th through the 16th, going through that 29th degree of Pisces. He is going to retrograde October 5th through the 7th. So again, like an analogy of, going back for your keys. You forgot your keys in your house. Now you got to go, you're in a hurry. So you've got to run back to grab the keys and then get back to the vehicle to go to your next destination. He is going to be coming back over this area October 5th through the 7th. And then he is going to station November 14th. So stationary action basically means where that gravitational pull has basically come back to equilibrium to where the planet no longer needs to come back but can start to pick back up on its direct motion. And so these moments as well are extremely potent in life whenever a planet goes stationary. Because again, it's not moving forward or back. It's just sort of constant in its own way. So it's almost like this progress report where you're kind of going back over what you just experienced, as well as, sort of setting the tone for, the way forward and go, Well, along with that, his last time going through this Dandanta point, so he's retrograding back through it October 5th through the 7th. He stations November 14th, and then he goes direct through this Dandanta point December 22nd through the 25th. So this is going to be a very interesting Christmas. And there's another day that I have to mention that I'm just talking about one planet here. Mars is going to play a huge role here because of one other very, very significant fact. The moon's nodes, which in Vedic astrology are known as Rahu and Ketu, or the north node and the south node, these are not planets. They are just mathematical points. And these mathematical points are what determine where the eclipses are and how they happen. If the moon and the sun are conjunct, either one of them. When I say conjunct, I mean they're within an 8-degree orb of each other. 8 degrees in the sky as we see it. And so the south node, or excuse me, both the north node and the south node, they have been transiting through Gemini and Sagittarius for some time now. Every single time. One of the things that I didn't mention, I'll just kind of briefly mention to you, is every nakshatra, there's 27 nakshatras. Every one of these nakshatras has a, I'm trying to remember what the word is for it. It's, they have a, like a, an energy, like frequency or a quality, if you will. There are fixed nakshatras, there are movable nakshatras, there's fierce nakshatras, there's swift, tender, mixed, and sharp. So of these, you know, you've got plenty that are, you know, bridging each other. You've got fixed going to movable or fierce going to movable or tender going to mixed or whatnot. This section of the zodiac where the south node is sitting right now is the only place in the zodiac where you've got two dreadful nakshatras touching each other. And they happen to be at this Gandanta point. You've got other, there's four total of the dreadful nakshatras. There's Ardra in the middle of Gemini. There's Ashlesha at the end of Cancer. And then there's Jeshta at the end of Scorpio. And then Mula at the beginning of Sagittarius. Well, these nakshatras, you know, life requires different people for different things. We're not everybody's the same. Not everybody can behave the same. There's no way. We're all born under a different moon. You know, when we're all born under different stars, we've all got a totally different purpose, and we're all unique. And the actual capacity for any one of the stars to look even slightly similar to another person's, even if they were born, you know, minutes apart, could show a whole lot of difference, including not only how fast the moon moves, but how fast the rising moves. So therefore making a whole nother chart available to you. But in any case, the dreadful nakshatras, they say, when planets come through these areas, people are tend to be either born into this world, or they tend to have some sort of impact that is meant to make some sort of a drastic change, aka they are dreadful. They're not supposed to make you happy. They're not supposed to, you know, spread it on gently. They're supposed to say it like it is, and, you know, basically bring the fear of God kind of thing. For example, Donald Trump, his moon, I believe, is in Jeshta. You know, very controversial individual in that sense that, you know, has no problem saying his mind and basically says what needs to be said. In another case, what I'm saying is that the north node was in Ardra and the south node was in Mula. So two dreadful nakshatras when 9/11 hit. And then shortly after that, you know, we had terrorism, our entire world changed, that all sort of accompanied and went along with that. And then 18 and a half years later, when those same nodal placements then came back to the same place in Ardra and Mula, we then had the very beginning of the coronavirus. And so now we're going to then set the tone for that afterwards, just like how terrorism followed, you know, 9/11 and whatnot. This cycle will be repeated every single 18 and a half years. So, you know, who knows, we might be discussing that again once these nodal placements move back to these same locations. We'll be discussing the next new norm that we're all going to be sort of adjusting to, however it happens to take place. Well, the north node has already moved out of Ardra. It's starting to move into Taurus. And right now, the south node, K2, is, I believe, either at the 1 or the 2nd degree of Sagittarius. The south node, K2, is set to move into Scorpio, so again, crossing that point, that Gandanta point, September 19th. Now, the key with this and what's so important to note is that the south node is exalted in Scorpio, and the north node is exalted in Taurus. What this means when we use words like debilitated or exalted and whatnot is that, you know, every planet has dignity. Every planet has dignity in any one sign. However, as these ancients have recognized and acknowledged and noted, that certain planets tend to do better in certain signs versus others. You know, they tend to sort of show their natural energies or inclinations a lot clearer or more, with more clarity, or just it's just easier for them to express in certain areas, certain houses or certain planets, or excuse me, in certain signs versus others. Well, the south node is a very malefic energy. Now, granted, I don't like to use that word because, again, you know, who's to say what this is good or bad? What might appear to us as bad, you know, might be part of God's plan entirely. So all things do work together for good. And in the end, we would, in fact, see that, yeah, it actually was all for our good. You know, I needed to go through that forging, right, the tempering, and, you know, grafted in fire and come out a lot stronger. And, you know, a lot of us need that. But in the beginning, while we're actually in the pit, when we're going through the suck, you're not thinking that way. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I say it as the South Node going through Scorpio is potentially a very good energy. However, the way that it might be understood or seen through human eyes may not be so good. And why is that? Scorpio is a very karmic sign in this regard. In other places of the zodiac, you can sort of push your problems under the rug. You can kind of dance around the point. You can evade responsibility until a later date under, you know, whatever pretense or notion of, you know, oh, you know, calm down, it's not that big of a deal, or this or that. When planets come into Scorpio, they're forced to face their fears. This is the energy of, you know, you're, I don't know, just some calamity has happened, or, you know, or some sort of abuse is being done, and, you know, you're either going to be a victim, or you've got to stand up for yourself, and you've got to say something, or you've got to do something about it. And so you're terrified, but you have to come up with courage. You have to find fortitude. And as a result, this is why this area of the zodiac is an extremely spiritual one, because once we start to realize our own human weaknesses and what we can or can't actually do is when we really do start to call upon God, because we don't really know what to do. Well, in this section at the very end of Scorpio, in this nakshatra of Jyeshta, this is an area where when Ketu comes into here September 19th, it's going to be a place of, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to face this fear. Whether you like it or not, this fear is coming to life. And the reason I only bring that the name of this nakshatra up is because what I've learned about it is some astrologers I've heard of have named this nakshatra as sort of the cosmic policeman. And why is that? That's basically, this nakshatra does not allow you to live in a fantasy world, no matter who you are. You might have said, you know, oh, I'm not a jealous person, you know, and you call it all sorts of words like, oh, I'm just wondering about this, or I'm wondering about that. And you try to play it off, like I said, you know, kind of dance around it or sweep it under the rug. This nakshatra says, yeah, but why are you doing that? You know, it gets you down to the root. What are you doing about that? Where is that coming from? It gets you down to the bare word of, you know, were you loyal or not? No, I was not. Okay. You know, or did you in fact sabotage yourself or not? When it all comes down to it and you consider all factors, yes, I did. All right. This nakshatra forces you to look at that, whether you like it or not. So with the South Node moving there, that energy is going to be upon all of us in many ways. It's going to be upon the world. And what's harder about it is that the way that Vedic astrology teaches it is that wherever a planet is, you can look at the condition of it as well as how it's kind of responding or what kind of things it's going to be going through based off of where its lord is. So the lord of Scorpio is Mars. So the South Node being in this very karmic spot, in this Gandanta spot of Scorpio, where he's exalted, is looking at his ruler over in Pisces at a Gandanta zone over there. So we've got two of these very, very potent, powerful, and fiery energies in these extremely treacherous and unpredictable areas of the zodiac at the same time. Then December 14th, we actually have a solar eclipse in that same nakshatra. So the sun will be at 28 degrees of Scorpio, and the moon will be right there with it, I believe at like 29 degrees, and the south node's going to be right there as well. I don't know what that's going to produce, but like I told you yesterday, the best way that I might describe it is leading up to that could be considered like a punch in the face. There is going to be a lot of energy that is just going to be sort of forcing us to become aware of whether it's our shortcomings, what we're not doing right, you know, our faith. A lot of this is going to be coming to the light. And as I told you yesterday, Pastor, that I've been a Christian my whole life, and yet, bizarrely enough, I feel like I've heard more from God in this year than I have in pretty much most, if not the rest of my life combined. I have heard from God so much this year. It is incredible. And I would not doubt it if a lot of other people had a similar experience or could say something similar. There is a very valid point for this. Jupiter has been retrograde for some time. Right now, he has moved back into his own sign of Sagittarius. He is, I believe, somewhere around the 24th, 23rd degree. So that's at the very end of this one particular nakshatra called Purva Ashada. This nakshatra, as I have learned it, it is associated with declarations of war. Why is that relevant? Well, because there's something else going on here that's actually, like, its true format is going to take place on August 20th, so the day after tomorrow. What we are going to have is the sun is going to be in the sign of Leo, the sign it rules. Mars is going to be in the sign of Aries, the sign it rules. And Jupiter is already in Sagittarius, the sign it rules. In my lifetime, I've not actually seen this happen before. The original trigonal houses, the original trine, you know, the first, fifth, and ninth houses, these are the pillars of all people's lives. You know, the first house rules you. You know, your fifth house rules your creativity, your children. The ninth house rules your beliefs, where what God means to you. And I have to say, with that in mind, is that wherever Jupiter sits in a person's chart, this would define how you look at God. If he is in, you know, an air sign or an earth sign, he's not so comfortable there. That doesn't mean that a person can't still know God and be an amazing impact for his kingdom. It's to say that they might be observing godly things through more of a practical understanding of it. And then when you have Jupiter in the fire or the water signs, this is more of the energy that he's familiar with. Then you can sort of understand God through, or people with these kinds of placements tend to understand God more through, you know, through philosophy or through understanding of higher knowledge, through the ether, through basically, or whether it's in a water sign, you know, you see God in the beauty of the emotions that you're experiencing. You've learned many life lessons that have probably been very painful that kind of awaken within you how, you know, God is, you know, how he is teaching you through that method and whatnot. So with Jupiter being in his own sign of Sagittarius now, and Sagittarius is the sign of, you know, higher beliefs of God, of religion and whatnot. As I said, wherever Jupiter is sitting, that's how universally we're kind of understanding God. Well, Jupiter has been in Sagittarius for the better portion of Donald Trump's presidency. We've seen a sort of coming back to God. We've, you know, at least from, you know, we set that apart from the way it was before him and whatnot. We see a lot more of, you know, just people being able to actually speak of God a lot more out loud than they used to, you know, as opposed to when we were under the Obama administration and whatnot. And This is the problem, though, is that Jupiter, for a little while, he crossed over into the sign of Capricorn. Capricorn is where Jupiter is debilitated. So what does this mean? It means the supreme mind, or the notion of how God is or what God is, our belief systems, our faith, our, you know, just our higher thinking, which again is represented by Jupiter in our charts as well as where he is in the sky. Once he crosses over into Capricorn, which is the sign of his debilitation, this basically means that our view of God or our value system is being subjected to materialism. It is being subjected to things of this world, which are things that Capricorn represents. Capricorn, you know, it represents, you know, the hard knocks of life, working hard, you know, working diligently and hard to sort of climb the ladder of material success in this life, which is, in fact, very useful and necessary to do well in this world, but it is not an energy that Jupiter likes. Jupiter wants to be free to understand God and life as this, you know, cohesive, coherent thing that is all working together for good and existing within all of us, whereas when Jupiter is in Capricorn, he's more so his energy towards belief and what he believes is right is basically, you know, winning is what is right. If I accomplish my goal, that is right. If I have, you know, gained what I set out for, that necessarily is justified. And so that is why he is debilitated here. You know, he is exalted in his opposite sign of Cancer, but he is debilitated here in Capricorn. And so, like I said, right now, yes.
Okay, let me just interject a thought, okay? Because I feel like I'm in second grade and I just went to a university and I'm learning things I've never heard before, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing that. I wanted to bring up two passages of scripture right now to just help us listen, because I'm going to ask you to do something with everything you just talked about for the last 45 minutes, this impartation of knowledge that is above us that most people, you know nothing about. We don't know, but we do know that if Daniel were here today, or the Magi, or the wise men that followed the star to the birth of Christ, you know, I wonder how they would be received today. But I did want to bring this up and then ask you this question. I can't forget everything that you just talked about in the heavens that you have learned, that you have witnessed. I want to see it on earth and how it's manifesting, because, you know, last night, for example, you know, this behavioral thing that started last week, as you talked about, last night, we're all looking at a video of a young man that's kneeling down on the ground, and these protesters, Antifa guys, whoever they were, come around, kick him in the head. He may be dead today. There's a violent thing going on in our world right now, and I want to connect from what's going on above us. And then I want to get into how this all measures up with Pastor Dana Cloverfield's dream that he had about September, October, November. And I know that's why you're applying this. But the scripture I want to share with our listeners right now, Job chapter 9, verse 9, and I'll go back a little bit earlier, where it actually says in the beginning, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer. I'm in Job 9:3. He is wise in heart, verse 4, and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and has prospered, which removes the mountains, and they know not, which overturns them in his anger, which shakes the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commands the sun, and it rises not, and seals up the stars, which alone spreads out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea. Listen to verse 9. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Now, the next passage I want to share is in Job 38, and I'll just read verse 32. And what it actually says there, and this is for people tuning in right now going, okay, what is this that we are listening to here? Job 38, 32, can you bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? So The word Maseroth there in the Hebrew is the Mazara, and what it literally means is the 12 signs of the zodiac and the 36 associated constellations. So I just don't want people to get, you know, weirded out on the idea that there is zodiac being spoken of, there is the constellations being spoken of, the Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the different constellations and names. They were all very well known. And while it may sound very unusual and peculiar to us, one thing I want to leave here just as well, I go back to, I think it was May or June, when we were actually in Tyler, Texas, Patricia and I, sharing with the saints of God out there. And that very weekend, there were open Satanists that were marching through the city streets of America, not getting any real coverage, calling upon Lucifer to come down and make war with the Christians and to turn the tide and everything. And if anybody has been watching, we have entered into a really weird moment on the planet. But when I was talking to Victor yesterday, he, you know, talked about some of these things going on up there and how the shift in the atmosphere took place over the weekend. And I concurred, it certainly did. And I said, this seems like a lot of witchcraft, a lot of spiritual warfare. And when he started tying it into what's going on above our heads, I thought this was very, very interesting. So, again, let us listen carefully. And if you would, Victor, please tie in what's going on Earth, Pastor Dana's vision. How does it all connect with what we're seeing right now in our country and around the world?
Yes, sir. So, like I said, these planets going through these treacherous zones, these Gandanta zones from the end of a water sign into a fire sign, these are very karmic positions, and whenever planets transit through them, there is a transformation that takes place. And so as a result, like I said, Mars is going through this one place three times this year. The first time was August 14th through the 16th. The second time, he will retrograde back through it October 5th through the 7th. He will station November 14th, and then he will move direct through it the third and final time, which will be on the 22nd of December through the 25th. That's just Mars. Now, Mars, again, is this planet of war. It is this planet of action. And going through this very treacherous position in the zodiac definitely shows sort of violent tension that is unpredictable. Because, again, these positions, these ancients called it this section drowning. As in you really, if you know, you kind of think about what it is to drown, you don't have any control. You clearly, whether you can swim or not, you're going under and there's nothing to grab onto. There's a lot of people out there that I'm assuming probably feel quite lost, and they're trying as hard as they can to sort of grab onto something, to try to control something. And as a result, they're just bringing themselves even further down, and they're destroying everything around them in the process in many ways. K2, the south node, is about to go through that exact same place, but in a different spot. He's not going through the Pisces Aries Gandanta. He's going through the Scorpio Sagittarius Gandanta. And he's going to be looking at that same Mars. Right now, being in the nakshatra he's in of Mula, it's all about the roots. Right now, the south node, which is this very spiritual energy, is getting us in touch with our roots. What are we really made of? What are we really doing? Are we, you know, a planet, or excuse me, are we a country that thinks this way, or do we think this way? You know, like I said, these are two dreadful nakshatras, so it's happening in a dreadful manner. It is, we are, as a society, saying, you know, are we going to live this way, or are we going to live this way? Are we going to embrace these values or these values? Now, what comes next once we have established that, whatever it is that we stand with, once it crosses that line into the water sign of Scorpio and in Jeshta, this is when we will actually implement action. And that is why, like I said, this is where we will be forced to face our fears, whether we like it or not. This is going to be a place where the universal mind is sort of going towards, okay, we established in that, in Mula, in the root, this is what we believe, or this is where we're going, such as we don't want, you know, as we've learned on TV and whatnot, there is this, the country is starting to move against God. They don't want to hear God. If this is in fact God's plan and what he wants for us, then what it is to say is this will come to pass because it is what he has designed. If that is what he has designed and where we are going, what will come next is the action that backs that up or the action that puts that into practice.
Okay, so let me just if I may just interject biblically, this sounds like what God would say through the prophets, your day of accountability has come. And you talked a lot about that.
Yes.
Where we now, this is the time of accountability, visitation, the time where God has forewarned, he has begged for repentance. The people say no. And so now comes the action. We're witnessing the action. And we said this weekend that what we see going on in our country right now is of the Lord. It's in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. This is from the Lord. What is going on? Because it is a time of accountability for what we've done in our generation against the Lord, and here we are. So biblically, it lines up with what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, these placements, they are key. We haven't seen this kind of action, and I mean, I haven't seen it. We see action every single year, you know, in different planetary placements and locations and whatnot. And they all have different and separate meanings, but the meanings of the transits that are taking place this year, you know, especially starting, like I said, the first big one starts in 2 days, and it should be a positive energy, hopefully, you know, but who's to say? And then September, like I said, there is a big day. September 24th is a big day. Mars will go stationary direct. So he'll be retrograding, but then he's going to go stationary and then start moving direct, and then like 1 or 2 days after that. And Jupiter simultaneously on that same day is going to go stationary retrograde. So he is going to go from his retrograde motion to direct. Both of these planets are coming to a standstill in the heavens at the same time. I don't know what that's going to produce. All I'm saying is if we keep an eye on September 24th, I believe something significant will happen on that day.
Now, how does that line up with Pastor Dana's dreams? Now, how does you had mentioned that at the upstart of the program, Pastor Dana Coverfield had a dream about October, November. Can you tie that in?
He tapped on the calendar 3 times for September. And then, you know, he started to talk about he saw people pummeling each other. He saw school rooms that were empty and had cobwebs in them and whatnot like that. You know, whether it's in the name of COVID-19 that then calls about more schools getting shut down or whatnot like that. I mean, you've heard the saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. With less and less for people to do, less and less for people to, you know, go to school or learn or whatever, their minds are going to start wandering. They're necessarily going to start to want to just do something with themselves. And this is where, you know, if they haven't been praying, if they have not been seeing the signs of the times, then it could easily mutate into that next level of violence and whatnot. And then you couple that obviously with, you know, the clear and obvious corruption of the Democratic Party in the sense that, I mean, we're trying to be careful in essence. I heard somebody say online, you know, that Kamala Harris was running for the presidency and she didn't get a very good turnout, which is why she dropped out. Well, it's like in a way of saying, you know, thank you or whatever to the American people. And, you know, since she didn't succeed in that regard, let's go ahead and make her the vice president. Almost like, you know, just slapping us in the face, so to speak. You know, obviously Biden, the guy's got a whole list of, you know, very interesting things about him that doesn't really qualify him. And yet, you know, many of us know that a lot of this is just sort of been ordained. It's already been sort of planned out whether we wanted to vote for it or we agreed with it or not. And, you know, what is coming at the end, I don't know how it's going to play itself out, but, you know, the possibilities, as he said, of hyperinflation happening, very, very strong. The possibilities of civil war happening, very, very strong. You know, he even mentioned a potentiality of Chinese and Russian troops with boots on the ground here in the United States. You know, the person that may want to argue with me would say something along the line of, you know, like, oh, what if they're here for this or that? And I'm saying, no. It's not whether they're here for good or bad. The point is they've landed. They're here. They're actually on our soil in uniforms. And, you know, this is an invasion. in that regard. So do I think that potentially could happen as well? I think the stars are showing that stuff like that could happen. Absolutely. I think that with regard to what he was talking about in November, the, you know, Mars, like I said, it goes stationary November 14th. The big time frame is going to be when Mars passes through that Gondanta zone the third time, which is December 22nd through the 25th. And there's also going to be that very powerful solar eclipse December 14th. So I'm not saying that there's not more aspects. I mean, I've tried to sum up a whole lot of information as best as I can in a very short period of time.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to discuss. So I'm sorry if, you know, I've been ambiguous about things, or there's still a lot of, you know, areas that people are like, I don't understand what you're talking about. But to the best of my ability to say, within this period of time, these dates are significant to recall. You know, as you have said, as many before you have said, you know, just we need to be prepared. We need to get ourselves, you know, squared away. We need to have our food supply in the wrap. We need to have contingency plans. We need to have operating procedures and pre-planned responses to things. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to get closer to God in every which way. And the one thing that I've learned through all this is just to trust him. Because like I said, the more that I've learned about the Zodiac and about life, is it's just, it's forced me on so many levels to just trust God completely, because you will be met with impossibilities and circumstances that are beyond you. The more that you know, you sort of delve into areas where we don't know anything. And so trusting God is so key in this time coming up ahead. And as well as in the whole reason that I came onto this is that I don't want to be the guy that, you know, God gave a talent to, or he says, what did you do with it? Did you multiply it? Did you, you know, anything? And I say, oh no, Lord, I just buried it. You know, I didn't do anything with myself. So, you know, I'm trying to hopefully contribute, give back, you know, in any way that I can, to, you know, whether it's help people or give them some sort of insight into like how I'm seeing things that will, you know, hopefully improve and help God's kingdom in the long run, because this is getting very real. And it is, in my opinion, it is ignorance to believe that we are not touchable. There are many people that think that we're untouchable. We're America. We're great. We don't get it wrong and we don't get attacked. No, I've lived in many countries across this world. I've seen many things, and I can definitely say we are touchable. And just in military training alone, the amount of transformation and change that you can endure in a matter of hours. That many, you know, instructors have told us that, you know, the amount of transformation you have been through, you know, in just this day alone could be equivalent to what normal civilians might experience in a period of 5 to 10 years. And that's just training. Imagine a war, you know, like Beirut, we saw that bomb going off, you know, five minutes before the smoke showed up, you were talking about whatever and everything was all the same. Nothing was different. As soon as the smoke showed up, within seconds, and then, you know, or minutes even, life is transformed. It is completely different. All of a sudden, just like that, nothing's the same. It'd be no different if an EMP went off, or a nuclear weapon went off, or any kind of, you know, biological or chemical weapon. You will then be forced, like I was saying, remember with the South Node K2 going into Scorpio, how it forces us to face our fears, whether we like it or not. It'd be something likened to that. To believe, to not, or to think that we cannot be touched by that, yeah, is pure foolishness. We are all touchable, and we are all easily reduced, you know, whether, however it happens to take place. And that's why it is so crucial now to be praying like never before, and maybe getting closer to God, and to just be trying as much as possible to bring his blessings and his goodness upon us, that we may be able to, you know, evade or escape what is coming. Because I don't know when it's coming or what it's going to look like, but as I've heard you say even too, Pastor, it's, you know, it would be wise to just believe and understand.
Amen.
It's not going to be something that we can handle. Not very
well. No, and not on our own, definitely. So what I'd like to do, we've got a good 20 minutes. What I'd like to do is open the telephone lines. I want to give people an opportunity that have any questions about what you've said today. Now, again, this is kind of one of those things where you're in second grade, you're learning your alphabets, and all of a sudden, or maybe we learned them earlier, I don't remember, but all of a sudden we're in university and we're hearing about signs and we have a reaction. But what I hear very clearly is everything that you've said and you've studied and you've looked at above is happening on the earth, and it's confirming different things. So we want to open the telephone lines up. If you have a question for Victor, now's the time to ask it. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And Victor, are you open to that right now, taking some questions?
Yep. No, that's fine.
All right, so let's do it. If you have a question, you don't understand something, feel free to share your thoughts, 818-369-0326. And then when you dial that number, press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the conversation, and we could have just a good conversation about what you just heard today. And what I heard is an absolute confirmation to everything we've been saying and what others have been saying about these three particular months, September, October, November. You remember that Pastor Dana said in November, the fist struck the calendar. And you heard in the upper echelons of what was being spoken of by Victor today that there was a punch in the mouth. So something is connecting, and I want us to explore it. So again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the conversation. And I just want to welcome everybody that's out there on Facebook and YouTube. And thanks for standing and listening to what Victor was saying. So, Victor, until those calls come in, what other thoughts do you have you would like to share?
I do hope that maybe you can help me with this, Pastor. There is a verse that says, the wise man seeth the danger and hideth himself. Fool ignoreth the danger, I believe, and is it destroyed? Or I'm trying to remember how it
Yeah, he walks on and is destroyed. Yeah.
And is destroyed, yes. There is immense merit to this with regard to the stars.
All right, so listen, real quick. Before you could jump into that, we've got a call coming in. It's coming from South Dakota. Let's take that call and say, first of all, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. What is your question for Victor?
Yes, my question is this. Okay, Victor, when Jesus Christ was born and the wise men followed the star, did the planets light up? What happened during that time in the sky?
That is awesome. I love that question. So I saw a documentary quite a few years ago. I can't remember what it was, but basically if you look on, I don't know if it's NASA's website or where you can actually find it, where they can actually track the planetary movements since I don't know how far back, quite a ways back, and we can do it quite a ways into the future too. What we saw or what they saw in the sky, the brightest celestial bodies that we can see is Jupiter and Venus. Both are very bright. Venus is obviously brighter than Jupiter. Regulus, which is called the heart of the lion, when you look at the constellation of Leo, it is associated with the tribe of Judah, right, and the house of David. The star of Bethlehem was a Jupiter-Venus-Regulus conjunction, as I have learned it. So the two brightest bodies in the heavens were sitting right above that star of leadership, that star of David. And all three together created an extremely, extremely bright star or extremely bright light in the heavens. And that is what I have learned it to be, is that it was a Jupiter, Regulus, Venus conjunction that created this extremely bright star in the sky known as the Star of Bethlehem. And how they could say that it was moving, I'm assuming that was just with the Earth's natural tilt as we're turning throughout the evening, and you're seeing the star move with it. I mean, that's just to the best of my capacity to understand it. But I believe that's what the Star of Bethlehem was.
All right. So while the other calls, again, if you're listening to the broadcast, you have questions for Brother Victor, the number to call, 818-369-0326. Thank you for asking that question, Kathy, from South Dakota. My question would be, and this is something I've been wrestling with because I've heard both sides of the story, but what happened on September 23rd, 2017, when what was quoted as the constellation of the Revelation chapter 12 actually did show up factually? What was that all about? Any insight to that?
September 23rd, 2017?
Was the Revelation? Yeah, was the Revelation chapter 12 constellation where the moon was under her feet, Virgo was there. There was a crown of 12 stars upon her head, but there were only nine in Leo, and then three planets joined it. And Jupiter was bursting forth out of the womb. And that was the actual Revelation chapter 12 sign written in the book of Revelation. Is that something we should have been paying attention to? Again, is my question.
Well, I think we should always be paying attention to it. To put that over into how we're seeing in the stars what's going on, that's a whole other study in and of itself. I'm not completely familiar with that date, but when I look at it, as you said, yes, there was the North Node was at that Gandanta zone, so at the end of Cancer moving into Leo, and then there were three planets. There was Venus, Mars, and Mercury in the sign of Leo, and the Sun was in Virgo, as you said. Jupiter was at 1 degree of Libra, and the Moon was there as well. These, you know, it's difficult to say because you really have to kind of study them all together, I guess, to get a better description on it. But all of these celestial locations, as well as the things that the Bible talks about, they're all relevant to know. And I do intend on studying them more so as to sort of piece this together more in a cohesive whole. But okay. That particular day, Pastor, I'm not completely too sure on. I will definitely have to study more on that and get back to you.
All right. Well, that's good. I've got two questions coming out from the Facebook site, but I have a call coming in again from South Dakota. Let's go ahead and take this call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. You have a question.
Good morning.
This question is for Victor. And what I'm wondering is God created everything, and so right now I'm wondering, is God controlling the zodiac, or is the zodiac controlling God?
He has always controlled his zodiac. He has always controlled everything. I mean, this is his clock. This is his, you know, his, we are on his
calendar.
This is this big, like I said, yeah, his calendar, his atom, you know, of where the sun is the proton and the planets are the electrons. You know, if you go and you stand next to a transformer by, you know, a power line or something, you can feel, you know, a certain resonance from that electromagnetic radiation. If you go even with your eyes closed and somebody stands next to you, you can feel their presence there. You know, energy is...
So what you're bringing out, Victor, is what we're seeing is not the individual, but it's got to come through the astrologists in order for the man on Earth walking to understand all these signs that you're talking about, correct?
Yes and no. This is what goes back with, as I was talking with Pastor Vincent about, there are strict guidelines within the Bible about listening to false idols or going along with occult teachings, because there is a reality that I have to say here is that when you start thinking that a sign determines you or defines you in any which way, your mind stops working outside of the parameters of what you define as you. It becomes harder and harder for you to believe that you're capable of anything other than what you define as you. And so that's where the idol comes in, because God can do anything. He can work through us to do impossibilities. He can, you know, change our lives to make us completely transform ourselves. And so with that, We do use this as a tool for measuring signs and seasons. We do see it as a way of measuring sort of the universal mind and how we're all working. And, okay, if these planets represent these things, then can we see that actually taking place on Earth through human behavior? That is the extent usually to where I try to go, because, again, like I said, is when you start saying, oh, well, you know, let's put the Bible away or whatever and I'll just focus solely on how the stars are determining the events or the signs of the times, that would be wrong, because now we're adopting human understanding and we're attempting to play good and evil or choose good and evil, basically like eating the fruit back in the Garden of Eden. And that's where we need to draw the line. Is there has to be a balance. You have to be able to recognize the science without allowing it to necessarily take over. If that makes sense.
There was a lady that worked for me years ago, and every morning when she would go into the lunchroom, she'd look through the newspaper because she wanted to see what her horoscope read that day, and she always referred to the horoscope as her Bible. So that's somewhat
that's what I mean.
It blows my mind when I heard that the first time, but she done it religiously.
Absolutely. And a lot of people do. And this is why in many ways astrology is called a super science, because Jesus even said, do not cast your pearls before swine. One of the things that I told Pastor Vincent was the reason I've been so reluctant to talk about something like this out in public is because should you not have the faculty to be able to discern right from wrong in the sense of, okay, I've got this information, where is it appropriate to apply and up to what extent? If you cannot gauge that within yourself, then, and I say this to myself, then I really have no business telling other people about it. Because what I'm ultimately doing is I'm just trying to sell you to believe something I believe, and I'm the basis or, you know, the core source of what it is to believe, whereas, you know, I'm just human. I don't know that much at all. You know, that's why when we understand that God has developed all of these things and he is the ultimate answer, he is the source of right, he is the source of truth and of love, that's when he empowers us to understand these things and to delineate and decipher right from wrong and use these tools to the best of our ability without allowing them to go further into our mind as far as letting them now determine, you know, oh, my day is going to be bad because another human says it's going to be bad. No, you know, there might be a position where the moon is in today that may not be as advantageous for you. That doesn't mean, you know, you're going to have a horrible day. It just might mean lay low. Don't do anything like don't do legal activities today. It may not be a good idea for you. Tomorrow might be a better day. You know, there's many of these occurrences.
Well, and it's like God gave us a free will. And I understand that very well, because there was a period of time that I was able to shut off my conscience. And so I didn't have a conscience. And it turned out that until I accepted the Lord, my conscience was somewhere out there, and I'm not saying in space, I'm just saying that my conscience was turned off, and until I accepted the Lord, my conscience did not come alive or become active again in my life.
Amen. All right, very good. Ken, thank you for those great questions, and Victor, great answers. I want to move on to a couple more calls. We just got a limited amount of time right now. Some great conversation going on the in the chat room. But let me take this call coming in from area code 858-864. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. You have a question for Victor.
Yes, I do have a question for Victor, and I understand where he's coming from because I once studied astrology. But I would like to ask the question to Victor regarding Isaiah 47, which speaks in this manner. And this is the Lord Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty speaking. You are weary with your many counsels. Let them stand and save you. Those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons make known what shall come upon you. Behold, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. No coal for warming oneself is this. no fire to sit before. Such to you are those whom you have labored, who have done business with you from your youth. They wander about, each in his own direction. There is no one to save you. This cannot save us. What we can be saved by is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is the main aspect in above and beyond all physical experiences, including the heavens, the stars, the moon. We go into the spirit, the heavenly realm of the spirit, which teaches us and shows us what is beyond all of that which has been established with many pagans who have been able and desired to worship the heavens. Now, I know that we don't do that, and I know you realize there's a God Almighty, but there's something greater than listening and watching through those means, which are lower in the physical realm. It is the realm of the spirit, the high realm of the spirit, that teaches and shows us and gives us wisdom beyond the stars. And it's in Deuteronomy and many other scriptures that I could read what I had just spoken of. So I would like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, you know, like what I was saying earlier, is it's like, or actually I said this to Pastor Vincent, was that, you know, God speaks through people. He has given us all skills. You know, the carpenter might on his, you know, occasion and whatnot, discuss with you measurements or a particular cut that he made within wood to construct this or that. Same with a steel worker, somebody or a mechanic, you know, I use these components in this fashion or whatnot. When we talk about the skills that we have are basically what we've been endowed with, you know, we share information as human beings to improve each other. This, the only difference here is that instead of talking about steelwork, I'm talking about the stars as something that I have studied recreationally for some time now. The difference is in talking about something, unless somebody could, you know, compare this in a similar way with welding or whatnot, I'm saying something that, as you just even said too, potentially can change somebody's life, and not necessarily for the better, again, if they're not able to digest it correctly. And so that's what's in many ways made me so reluctant to even want to discuss something like this out in public, was because, you know, it could potentially be received wrong. My intention has never been to turn away from the Word of God. That is, you know, supreme. That is the answer. But just like how God gave us the capacity to work with wood or work with steel or work with any other thing, He did give us the stars as well to work with.
Amen.
And just like with anything, that how life works in moderation and in balance, anything taken to an extreme can be deadly or dangerous. And
Amen.
It's, you know, it's no different with anything else. That is more so where I try to sort of keep myself within, is not to get too carried away or onto the astrological side of things, like, hey, let's really start to understand what these things mean. And little by little by little, we're kind of moving away from God's word and trying to start idolizing this as a belief system. What I'm saying is that it can be very easy to naturally want to go to that thinking by observing the stars. But what I try to always practice and in prayer is to say, I can look up at the sky at night. So can you, so can all of us, right? That's natural. There's nothing unholy. There's nothing disrespectful about looking up at the constellations and seeing where the stars happen to be. And then being able to observe in, like I said, in society or whomever it is that you're looking at or talking to, you're understanding characteristics that are taking place that supposedly do coincide with the definition of these planets being in the locations that they're in. You're able to extrapolate from that basically a definition or an inference that you can see works with how God is talking to us. Because a lot of times He's not just going to give us a straight answer. He might tell us to observe this or look, check the fruit on the tree on this. You know, does that add up? And so when you're able to have more tools at your disposal to observe how these things all kind of play in together, it becomes easier and easier for you to sort of be able to discern between what is actually God talking to you versus, you know, how the darkness is sort of permeating your spiritual landscape and convincing you that what you hear is not actually God.
Amen. Victor, let me just interject. We're down to our time, and I think it was a good question. It was a great answer. Let me just, for our listeners out there, okay, and we're going to kind of move in this direction. Let me tell you how it worked on this radio broadcast, okay? Let's be very clear. Something began in the spirit before coronavirus ever showed up. And what began was God gave a verse of scripture out of Isaiah 47:11. He said, there was an evil coming from where you do not know. A mischief would rise. You would not be able to put it off, and sudden destruction will come. So all of a sudden, we began to see that evil came, coronavirus, very next day. Then it was interpreted out of Ezekiel 14 that there would be four sore judgments or four waves, as it was put. We predicted the second wave would be anarchy and civil disobedience. It came. It's here. We predicted the third wave will be the unsheathing of the sword of war. We see that beginning to take place all around us. And then we talked about the fourth wave. My point is, it began in the spirit with a prophetic word. And then Pastor Dana and others came out confirming what was being said about the months of September, October, November, and we saw these waves, the unsheathing of the sword coming in those same months, and then the fourth wave of the lights out scenario. So we have something coming from the heavens. We have now dreams confirming, and now we're looking up into the stars, and there is a witness of everything that is happening was foretold in the stars. Somebody had the ability to look at them and interpret them properly, and that would be Victor in this case. And so when you put it all together, you know, what God's people need to understand is that the heavens are bearing witness. The spiritual realm bore witness first. Here on earth, there were dreams and visions of people getting it. So when you put it all together, folks, it's just another reality that it is time to awake and to prepare, to put on the blood of Jesus Christ, to put on that new creation. And Victor, I'm just running out of time. So I've got to say to you, sir, thank you for joining me on the air today. I want to thank all of our friends in Facebook and YouTube and on Blog Talk Radio for your calls that came in. And I want to leave, Victor, if anybody wants to, you know, kind of contact you or visit where you're getting your information, how you're sharing it, is there an opportunity for them to do that? Or would you rather,
you know,
just keep...
I'm kind of new to all of this, to tell you the truth. I really don't even have any kind of platform to send someone to. All I can say, as far as I've been doing research for about 20 years, off and on, it didn't follow any real specific course of study. It's just, like I said, it's been a lot of empirical and just, you know, observing from my own eyes what is happening around me. So I've studied books on astronomy, sky watching books, and like I said, obviously astrology. But if you learn the constellations, and not just in the zodiac, just any of them, I mean, it's an incredible experience. I believe it'll bring anybody closer to God to actually see the stars at work. It's an incredible sight. I'm on Facebook. I really don't check it that often, but yeah, I mean, if you want to reach out to me on Facebook, it's Vic Sites. So, you know, I'll definitely check it out and
see if anybody wants to talk. All right, Victor, we've got to run, my friend. I'll give people that information. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for sharing what you did. Be encouraged, be blessed in Jesus' name, and thank you for sharing. I, for one, love listening and learning, and even though it's outside of my comfort zone, I appreciate it and I value it very much, and I could see the biblicity in it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping it up. We're going to say goodbye for now. Tomorrow, Daniel Seckham will be joining us. Let what you heard today marinate on the inside of you. You did not hear a man come out here and proclaim astrology from the Western Zodiac. You heard something that really, from the biblical point of view, could be tangible and kind of taste it a little bit, okay? Just taste it a little bit. And so everything confirmed right now. You want to hear another story? My God, go to omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion on spiritual warfare dealing with the spirit of iniquity that's happening right now on Omega Radio. God bless everybody. We'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow. Shalom and God bless.